we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Evan Davis of FanRag Sports, Hardball Times, and the host of the In Play podcast. Evan, thanks for being with us once again.
Oh, I love hearing your voice, Rich.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I'm sure you love having a little MC Hammer in there, too.
Oh, yeah, without question. I'm a 90s kid. I can hang.
Let's talk first of all about what you've got planned. We caught you today because you're headed out to Arizona to check out some baseball starting tomorrow, right?
I am, in fact. Yeah, I'm going to be going out to spring training for about a week, hopefully doing some stories on some teams out there. It should be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to following your reports while you're out there in Arizona. Let's start with talking injuries, because this is a time of year where we're always watching those pretty closely. The Red Sox dodged a little bullet of their own, it appears, with David Price, who will sit out for about 7 to 10 days. But anytime you hear a guy's going to get a second opinion from Dr. James Andrews, it makes you hold your breath for a little bit. It appears to have worked out for David Price, but are there some other injuries that people should be keeping an eye on?
Well, basically, any pitcher in Major League Baseball is somebody you should be keeping an eye on. That generally is how it works. Yeah, no, of course, Price is a linchpin for the Red Sox this year, someone who probably is a lot better than his surface numbers seem. So with him and Chris Sale as the 1-2 punch, that's the best 1-2 punch in any rotation in baseball. And if James Andrews says that you're clear, you're free to go, then you're free to go. So hopefully he'll be doing fine. As with regards to injuries, I mean, yeah, you have to wonder basically about anyone who's coming back from Tommy John surgery, just how they're going to recover. You never know with pitchers. Every elbow in the league is always just shy of breaking down at any point in time. So baseball makes us stressed out for that reason constantly, and we should never forget that. That's why we should always be on edge and prepare for the end of the world.
Now, when you're thinking of preparing for the end of the world, you want someone who may last as long as the cockroach. And as you wrote, that guy's out there now in an Atlanta Braves uniform in the person of Bartolo Colon.
He's something else, isn't he? He's going to be going into his age 44 season. I love Bartolo Colon. He's got to be the most entertaining player in sport for obvious reasons. And no man should be able to pack that kind of athleticism into that kind of body. He's kind of at a point in his career where he's just soaking up innings. He pounds the strike zone with fastballs. That's kind of his signature. But that's kind of what the Braves need right now. They just need somebody to shore up major league rotation, and then they'll be able to, just get through this final rebuilding year before they're contenders again.
And I'm with you. That home run of his last year, that was one of the highlights of the entire season for me.
Oh, I openly wept when I saw that thing, and I think I wrote that in the piece. Mm. He's just an absolute pleasure to watch.
Let's talk about the American League. Of course, we watch that a little more closely with the Red Sox. Going in, who do you have as the likely divisional winners this year?
I think it's the Red Sox, Cleveland, and Houston. Those are my best guesses. All three of those lineups look as stacked as anybody's. Texas is always going to be nipping at Houston Field, and there's certainly nothing to be to sniff at, given that they're repeat division winners. But basically, beyond that, the American League feels kind of thin. It's a little bit more, there's more parity in the AL than there is in the NL, which means that anything can happen. But I think in general, Boston, Cleveland, and Houston are just the class of the junior circuit at the moment.
Well, a team like Kansas City seems to be falling fast, and of course the offseason loss of Ventura doesn't help either. Do they need to retool things a little bit to become competitive in what's getting to be a little bit tougher Central Division?
They're stuck between a rock and a hard place, frankly. They let all of their core members hit free agency at about the same time. They've traded a few of those pieces already, and yet the farm system still feels thin. It's likely that Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain, and Mike Moustakas are all going to be walking at the end of the year. And Dayton Moore has been directed by ownership that payroll can't expand the way that it did in the last 2 years. So he really can't go out and spend on something on big names. So I think Moore is probably really frustrated, and we're probably going to be seeing, another dip in the fortunes of the Royals over the next few years. And so maybe they can start filling their farm system again with legitimate talent. We'll see how long that takes.
A lot of people last year had Seattle as one of those potential surprise teams. They weren't quite there yet, and Felix Hernandez another year older, and perhaps all those innings he threw early in his career beginning to take their toll. Can the Mariners be a team that can sneak into the playoffs this year?
I think so. All projection systems like them to be kind of an 83-84 win team. Given the error bars on projection systems, that's basically all you need to get yourself into the wild card hunt. You know, their outfield defense looks pretty elite at this point. You know, they're trying to retool their starting pitching. I think what it comes down to ultimately at this point is, can Felix Hernandez and Hisashi Iwakuma kind of return to their, you know, prime selves? They haven't really looked like elite pitchers over the last couple of seasons. If that happens, then all of a sudden James Paxton is your ace. And Paxton looked great last year, but he's young, and you don't know necessarily what's coming in 2017. So if King Felix and Kuma start looking like aces again, then man, Mariners should be feared. If they don't, then they might have some problems.
We're talking baseball with Evan Davis here on Downtown. So much young talent in the major leagues these days and more of it on the way. Who are some of the young guys we should keep an eye on that might be poised for a breakout year?
Andrew Benintendi. Red Sox fans know this guy. They've known him for years. Particularly people in Maine have gone to Sea Dog games and seen what this kid can do. He's amazing. I have him as my favorite for AL Rookie of the Year. He is a special talent, pure contact hitter, gap-to-gap power. You know, his defense really plays up in left field. He's a really special kid, and he's only 22 years old, so he's going to be around for a long time.
And then some of these other guys who are so talented and so young, whether it's a Mookie Betts in Boston or a Manny Machado, a Chris Bryant. Have these guys hit their max yet? It seems like they've put up numbers that would be tough to repeat year in and year out. Are any of them in danger of slipping back, or can we see even greater things?
Well, just with the three names you mentioned, I don't see how that's possible. The game is getting so much younger. Everyone's been talking about how team rosters, average ages are decreasing. Obviously, with you know, travel teams, regional tournaments, kids are getting more and more specialized development at younger ages. And so players are coming into the league just more fully formed than they used to be. Maybe guys like Betts and Bryant and Machado are plateauing, which is kind of crazy to think about given that none of them are over the age of 25. But these guys are going to be, you know, the faces of baseball over the next several years. I don't think anything like that is going to change. You know, they've really treated us to a lot of special moments over the last few years, and I think they're going to continue to do so.
All right, how about the guys that perhaps played above their head last year? We always talk statistically about regression to the mean. Who are some candidates for that? And top of the list, I would think, even though he's always put up pretty good power numbers, but can anybody expect Mark Trumbo to hit 47 homers again this year?
I don't think so. I mean, Trumbo's a one-trick pony, I'm sorry to say. You know, it was cute that he was run out in the outfield last year, but he doesn't really offer any defensive value. He certainly ain't much of a base runner, and basically hits home runs and strikes out. And when you hit 47 home runs in an environment where everybody was hitting a ton of home runs, I don't think that we can really assume that that's going to carry over. And even with 47 home runs, you know, he was still around like a three-win player last year. I think teams are realizing more and more that they can develop more complete offensive tools in a player, and they don't need just strikeouts and home runs anymore. My guy is Aaron Sanchez. Aaron Sanchez of the Blue Jays, he led the American League in ERA last year. I think everyone was really surprised at what a step forward that he took. My concern is that his strikeout and walk rates were basically league average. You know, he leaned on his sinker and his two-seam fastball really, really heavily in order to generate ground balls. That kind of production doesn't necessarily carry over from season to season. Baseball Prospectus developed a stat called deserved run average, or DRA, one of those fancy numbers that people like to make fun of. But what it does is tries to correct for park effects, for the defense playing behind a pitcher, you know, the effect that a catcher has, all these different things. And just isolate exactly what the pitcher is doing. And that kind of thought that Sanchez was about league average in 2016, even though his ERA made him look really good. So I would think that he'll probably take a step back, which is unfortunate for the Blue Jays, because that means they're just going to be leaning on Marcus Stroman all that much harder.
Red Sox tried to bolster their bullpen in the offseason, picking up Tyler Thornburg from the Brewers, hoping that Carson Smith can come back, and kind of copying the model that the Royals used a couple of years ago with their bullpen. Are we in the midst of a transition away from the high-priced back-of-the-bullpen guy? They've got Kimbrell, but are the days of guys like a David Robertson, are they going to pass and we'll see more of a bullpen-by-committee approach?
Well, bullpen by committee does seem to be a popular strategy, especially when Terry Francona drove Cleveland all the way to the World Series with it. I think there's still maybe some skepticism as to how that can work in the regular season, just because of you're putting so much mileage on relievers' arms. We'll kind of see how managers do that and work with that in 2017. But at the same time, I mean, you know, Kenley Jansen got a massive contract this offseason. Aroldis Chapman got a massive contract this offseason. I don't think that we are seeing the end to an era of high-priced back-end relievers. I think it's just beginning. I think prices are just going to continue to go up because everyone knows that starters pitch fewer and fewer innings now. You rely more on your bullpen, and you get to find diamonds in the rough for the middle those middle relief innings, like a Tyler Thornburg, to help bridge the gap to your relief base. But no. There's no way. If Andrew Miller was on the market now, he'd get $100 million guaranteed.
The Sox had a guy look just like him a few years ago. Evan Davis, hey, always great talking baseball with you, Evan. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Have a great time in Arizona, and we look forward to talking with you again before the start of the regular season.
I'll be thinking of you, Rich, while you're in the cold in May.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll see you, Evan. Evan Davis, the In Play Podcast, FanRag Sports Hardball Times,